You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Welcome to the Drop the Needle podcast, your backstage pass to the corporate jungle. I'm your host, Jim Allstott, and here, industry titans step up to the mic, sharing their epic journeys. We're hitting the high notes and the low notes of their careers, creating a symphony of success. This isn't just another interview show. It's where truth bombs are dropped and secrets are revealed. So grab your conductor's baton, because who knows, this just might help you compose the next huge hit of your career. Are you ready? Let's go. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Drop the Needle podcast. I'm your host, Jim Allstott. If you're just joining us, make sure you go back and check out part one of this powerful two-part conversation. Last time, we explored Debbie Tatel's first experiences with something otherworldly biting her in the foot when she was just 4 years old. We also discussed how she began to pick up on the energies and thoughts of others around her. Debbie also shared her experiences as a grade school and psychic school student. Today, we're picking up right where we left off, diving even deeper into the realm of psychic mediumship, reading auras, and of course, our musical questions. So, buckle up, buttercup, open your hearts, and let's keep this powerful conversation going. Okay. So, you mentioned the auras before, and I wrote down a question. And I wanted to ask this for everyone out there so they knew. Can auras change color?
Yes.
And what is it that causes the aura to change color?
Wow, that's like in my clairvoyant development class level 3. But I will answer.
Thank you.
It might not make any sense.
Okay.
So our chakras actually create our aura, those little energy centers that are in the center of our body. To me, it's like a little projector. And we have different layers of our aura.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so there's a particular color and a vibration. And just for the record, when I look as a clairvoyant, every chakra can be a different color at any time. There's several teachings that say, oh, it's blue, or oh, it's red, you know, that the particular
chakra. Yeah, for the root chakra and the solar plexus.
Yeah, it has to be a certain color. And how I answer to that is, yes, the person who was reading that at the time kept seeing those colors.
Right.
So therefore, they thought those maybe were the only colors.
Sure.
Right? But we are all these creative, dynamic beings. Right? So the chakras kind of project out the aura, and then there you get the bands of color around you. So it depends on where you're working at any given time as a soul. What are you working on in, let's say, the third layer with your energy distribution? Are you working on, you know, clearing your father out of your space and out of your gut and out of all those spaces? And so it's going to reflect, and it might turn green when you're working on that particular layer. So it's however you as a creative soul are making it.
This is going to sound like a weird question.
I'm so, a clairvoyant. There is just not much really weird.
Okay. So, well, I guess I got to remember that. So I guess what I was started to think about when you were saying changing colors and different rings and things like that was the rainbow, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's refracting the colors, the light reflects and then causes that color. So then at the center of every chakra, is it then just clear, and for everything else around it then causes or creates color?
I am just going to say that clairvoyance can't be analyzed. And while I love that question, it's not a hard and fast. It's what you see when you look.
So it's your perception.
It's at it. Right. Or like if you're going to read me, it's going to be your, hopefully in neutral enough to look and see, oh, it's that color. Right. So everybody's got a different perspective, but none of this can be analyzed. So some of the questions, you know, when you ask me are just pure out of analyzer, which there's really no spirit in that. It's not that we don't use our intellect, right? But that's not the essence. So everybody's essence is going to be for them and how they see it.
Sure. No, I hear what you're saying. I get what you're saying. I just was thinking about that, and the image came to mind with the changing colors and then surroundings and different things like that. So that's where the image of the rainbow came out to me, because it was just like this light is going through something, but that chakra ring or what have you.
So we don't have to have light going through. We are light. We're not even solid.
Right. So the energy is each little.
So the energy light is the essence of what we are. Okay. Whatever that is a creative being. I can't answer that as a as an analyzer question, because there's no, like you're asking about, let's say, the mechanics of it all, which is great, but how does the mechanics, I mean, I can teach you how to read, and sometimes the mechanics are needed, you know, okay, this is how such and so works. But then there's another space where you get to look, and it's not about the mechanics.
Sure. No, I get it. So it's like somebody that can play the guitar and somebody who is an artist.
Exactly.
Yeah. Gotcha. That's what you're saying.
Or totally a dancer.
Yeah. Same thing. You can do the steps, but you're not an artist. So.
Right. There's that thing.
The it.
What do they call it? The it.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like that. Like we're all just its anyway.
Yeah. You're right. That's right.
You know, we're all these. I think Oprah said it first, but I adopted it for the longest time, that we're spirit in a human suit.
Right.
So we're just pure light. This is why TV shows are so popular, when you do like in the sitcoms and they do something happened, right? Some big thing happened, and then they start to do it from each actor's perspective.
Totally different.
Each character, and they're totally different.
Yes.
And that is absolutely this as well.
Which absolutely, that makes sense to me, because it's unique to you and everything that you're bringing to the party.
Right.
That's very cool.
Exactly.
So energy healing, what is it? What is energy healing?
So I guess I should probably define healing and what that means.
Please.
Because I alluded to it before in the disturbance in the force. When I look at healing, it's all about returning or restoring to wholeness. That's my definition of healing. That I'm restoring okay. something to its wholeness.
Original state.
To its original form.
Okay.
So when I look at energy healing, this is really fun. When I started out, and I will backtrack and give you a little story. So when I started out, I took, you know, meditation classes. And then what I really got into were the energy healing classes. Okay. Mm-hmm. And at that time, everything was in person. And I learned how to use my hands with the work of a healing guide to literally comb through somebody's aura and move out the junk and run energy through their body, maybe their legs or their arms, and just clear it out. So what we're clearing is in order to return you to wholeness, right?
Right.
Because of all the space junk, so to speak, that you've picked up when you walk down the street. I think
people can be a magnet for shit. For
sure. We are a magnet. For sure. We're a magnet. But sometimes we start to believe that it's us.
Mm. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And so when I talk about energy healing or healing in general, but there's different kinds. But it's really about clearing the junk and then helping remind you, for the most part, who you are. And disease, all disease, by the way, is dis-ease. It's not, yes, there's diseases that we consider, but if you look at a lot of this stuff as a clairvoyant, it's really interesting because it has its own consciousness.
What does?
Diseases?
Yeah. Okay.
They have their own kind of vibration, their own resonance, which is not in resonance with our body.
Which must be why, like, the Carolyn Mays in the world can do the scan right. and they can feel where there's that little hiccup or skip in the record.
Right.
Is right in those right. disturbances. Okay.
And so most of the time we are all carrying around other people's, like, we've become responsible for other people's energy.
Sure.
We've become responsible for other people's experiences. We take on responsibility for all their pain. We feel bad for them. So we want to match them and just take on their pain.
So dangerous for empaths.
So dangerous for empaths. Yep.
Wow.
We really.
For sure.
You know, we think it's ours.
Shit.
We don't know
over
how to
and over and over. Yeah.
Exactly. And so, you know, when you asked me earlier, and I don't mean to laugh, it's just when you asked me earlier, when did you first know? And I was like, I don't know. I was just in pain.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and many psychic children are in pain. Not so much now, because it just seems like it's much more readily available.
What, the knowledge or
the knowledge out there? And there's little books, acceptance, you know, I was reading A Wrinkle in Time and going, that's true.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. So I'm in the process of putting a book together and recounting some things that have happened over my lifetime. From my eyes today versus my eyes then, which are the views completely different, right?
Right.
Just like your view is completely different than it was 30 years ago doing something or looking at something, you know?
With all the readings I do.
Right.
My view is different sometimes every couple days because I get some new perspective, some new nuanced thought about it.
That's got to keep everything very fresh that way and interesting, and you just kind of dialed in to that and wanting more. I mean, that's, I guess I say that from my perspective on that because there's that interest and that desire to get more. And it's not from like an adrenaline junkie type of thing. It's like, that's so cool. I want to understand more about it. I want to see more of it so I can.
I want to look at this. Like that's really a huge thing. I went down the rabbit hole of curious clairvoyant. I was using curious clairvoyant a lot because that's right. What I feel like I am is I'm not a clairvoyeur. I'm not going to look at you. I'm not going to read your mind. I don't want to like invade your inner sanctum,
sure,
so to speak, right? But I am absolutely a curious clairvoyant.
Mine's pretty messy. Come on in.
Come on in, right?
You might be a little freaked out, but no, I'm just teasing.
No, I've read you before. Yeah. So yep. I haven't gotten freaked out yet.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Good, good.
Yeah.
So I want to also talk about wellness alchemy, because I experienced that a few days ago. But what I'd really like you to do is maybe briefly lay out to everyone what it is. And also, I think more importantly, or not even more importantly, but equally important, is let's say that someone were to say, hey, I heard this on the podcast. I wanted wellness alchemy. I want to know about it. What should I expect?
Well, I don't know about expect, but I can tell you exactly what it is. And I kind of brought out a couple of my, I brought out kind of the mission statement and the creed.
Yeah.
Just to kind of go over it. But first I will say it's called a Wellness Alchemy Medical Intuitive Session. For years, I have seen certain things in people's bodies, but I didn't know what they were. So now I'm actually going down the rabbit hole to doing some almost medical type studies about it and where we hold energy in our body. Right. And that's what you experienced the other day.
Yeah.
And I do want to bring it back to that for one second,
sure,
you know, because wasn't it interesting how in that session, because I had a colleague with me, but we saw things you hadn't even brought up. You said, oh, my back's bugging me.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, but your hips and your, and you said, oh yeah, my sciatica.
Yeah. Yeah. Sciatica replaced hips. Yeah.
Yeah. And, but we got right in there.
Yeah, it was very interesting. And I think
and there were a couple other things you kind of said as well. And that's the beauty of this is somebody can come and have, you know, say, oh, it's this. So that's the beauty of some of these healings is we don't know what we don't know.
Right. Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Also, we don't know what's relevant. Also, we don't know what we're holding on to in our bodies, right? It's in there. And then suddenly, you know, we have to have our gallbladder removed or, you know, there's issues with the liver or something. All of that is energy. So in the Wellness Alchemy Medical Intuitive Session, and I mean, this is separate from my other readings. I do, you know, regular readings, but this is something brand new. It's a program that I'm taking, and I will be a certified medical intuitive after that. So
it's very when it's cool done, though.
But the healings are just phenomenal. But I'll read you I'll read you the mission statement first. I don't think I had read that to you because we were setting the energy for your healing.
Right.
But the mission statement is Wellness Alchemy's mission is to help people wake up to what they already know. That as spirit, we all have innate abilities of self-healing without measure, just waiting to be uncovered. It's our mission to heal and to teach others to break the bonds of the atheist energies, which invalidates the self-healing powers we possess. And that's very poignant, atheist energy. Atheist energy is not about, oh, I don't believe in going to church. or the priest or the rabbi or whatever. Atheist energy basically says spirit doesn't exist. There is no such thing as spirit. And so many times atheist energy is what gets in the way when we're not, when we're saying, oh, not everything is energy. Oh, right. Everything is just this physical body that has to have surgery and 8 million pills and, you know, whatever. And by the way, for the record, I'm not telling you to
stop taking your medication.
Stop taking your medication. I'm not telling you not to go to your doctor. In fact, we have a big disclaimer that I am not a medical doctor. And also, medication is miracles.
Yeah.
But if we can clear these in a healing, in this session, right, and it's going to go along with whatever your doctor is telling you, and we're going to make some suggestions. I don't remember, what did we tell you? Magnesium?
Yeah, magnesium was one of them.
Or something like...
Yeah, no, magnesium, it's exactly it.
Yeah, and do you remember what your response was?
I have some and I should be taking it, but I haven't been. Yes, that's exactly that? Yeah. Yes, I do.
That was the answer. And so I think we have our knowingness, and then suddenly somebody comes up with something and go, you know, I have that and it was recommended to take it, or you know, whatever the case might be, and then but I wasn't taking it.
It is funny for that specifically, nobody ever told me that I should take it. I was looking for vitamins, and I saw magnesium, and I was like, huh. And I started to read about it, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to get that. And so I did, started taking it and stopped. I'll also be the first to say that I am so guilty if I receive antibiotics from a doctor that they say, take it for, you know, the entire 2 weeks. I stop at about day four because I'm tired of taking the medication, you know? You're right. I think ultimately what ends up happening is, you know, 8.5 times out of 10, with the exception of, you know, being the sinus infection coming back, things go away and you do get healed. And maybe it is just that little nudge from the antibiotics sometimes. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, nor am I an energy healer. So
look, we don't know, but the bottom line is that we all have an ability, and this is, you know, this is where the creed comes in. This is what you actually specifically kind of asked me to bring up because you heard the creed, which is we believe that each one of us had a part in the creation of our body, that available to each of us as spirit is the intuitive knowledge to heal our body when we open that door. We believe that disease and physical challenges are a pathway to learn and grow as spirit, and that fear and ignorance need not keep us from the blessings we find as we heal ourselves. As immortal souls, we're all part of the Supreme Being, and that is the part of us we remember when we create healing miracles.
I love that's a great creed. It reminded me of with in the creed, and I think this is why I also liked it the first time I heard it. In when people are making their soul contracts before coming back down to Earth, sometimes they make a request to be in a body that has a handicap. Yep. Or something like that. So there's a lesson in it could be humility, it could be overcoming adversity, it could be a number of different things, or maybe it's to teach unconditional love to a parent. You know,
maybe it's to use their psychic abilities.
Correct.
Because they don't have physical abilities.
Right. It could be a number of things. But it's interesting to me. I wonder why the recollection of that is wiped clean.
The soul.
When you make that, you're up there with your soul team, and you're saying, okay, well, you're ready to go. Let's go. What do you want to do? Well, I want to do this, this, and this. I want to make sure that I do this. And okay, here you go. You sure? Yep. Let's go. And you don't remember it.
Well, you can remember it when you clear enough energy to actually retrieve that information. That information is still there. It's in your Akasha. It's in your Akashic records.
Okay.
So you have that information is there. You just don't remember it. Because first of all, you spend 9 months in mama's belly with mama's energy, mm-hmm. mostly, going through whatever mama's going through, whatever emotions mama's going through, right. whatever, you know, any of that. So that's a lot of energy mm-hmm. right there. Also, then after you're born, and by the way, you know, birth is pretty traumatic for a baby because mm-hmm. it's in this nice, you know, cozy, warm, sweet, amazing thing, just getting constantly right. fed and all of yeah. that. And then it, you know, comes into this big world, ew, and they get slapped on the butt and they cry and all of that.
Some people like that, Deb.
Even that, I know, right? So, but the birth canal, I've actually read people's energy while in the birth canal.
Get out of here.
Yes. I look at soul contracts as they come in, but I don't want to get off topic because we could go down that rabbit hole for a while.
Yeah.
But yes, there are all kinds of things we can look at. The birth agreement,
okay.
the soul purpose agreement. You have agreements with your parents. That was not random. You picked them.
Right.
Sorry, folks out there. If you hated your parents,
your choice.
You prayed for them.
Yeah. Your lesson.
For whatever the lesson is that you're coming here to learn. But to your point, how come you forget? You know what? We're also getting a lot of information and a lot of energy coming at us, as I've been kind of saying throughout. Mm-hmm. And clairvoyance is nothing more than being able to see and retrieve that information. And there's things that you know. Your crown, we have a crown chakra. We have an energy center at the top of our head that is all about our knowingness. So there's things that we know. You know,
yes.
That's where our answers just come to us. And so will you remember? I don't know. Everybody has a different, you know, way of remembering. But how come we forget our dreams? Is it any different? Is it live or is it, remember the old, is it live or is it memorized?
Yes, I do. I was going to finish it for you. Of course I remember.
And that's a real thing. So we forget, we're only using, what is the, I don't know the exact percentage.
It's a low percentage of
your
brain.
Low percentage of our brains. And
like 3% or something like that.
Yeah. And what I do know is that when they take people who are intuitive and things like that and actually hook them up, they're actually using more of their brain.
Yes.
And yeah. It lights up in different areas and, you know, all the little.
That's the interesting thing where what you're talking about there, because I've seen Joe Dispenza has, you know, YouTube videos and also on Gaia, he's got his whole mm-hmm, programs mm-hmm, and specials that he's been in. He's collaborated with some of these other scientists and engineers to create these different machines to record and measure some of these things that you're talking about. And it's fascinating to me to see that.
It's fascinating because one of the things is like, we want to prove everything. Like, I can't prove to you any of this is real. I can't prove to you what I'm seeing, how I'm seeing,
mm-hmm.
right? I could teach you the tools.
Right.
So that, and by the way, the tools are not my tools. They're tools so that you can clear enough of your space to be able to see it from your own space. So the tools aren't about, I'm not teaching you how to be clairvoyant. I'm not teaching you how to do an energy heal. I mean, I am. I'm teaching you how to do an energy healing. I'm giving you the tools you need to get there. Your hands are feeling it. Your
right.
your intuition is seeing it, knowing it, feeling it, right? All mm-hmm. the clairs.
Right.
Yeah.
No, that makes sense.
So, but by getting that feedback, is so fascinating. And I mean, look, while I don't seek validation for a reading, I mean, it's really nice when somebody,
sure it is, yeah.
You know, when somebody says, oh my God, you know, it's great and I feel amazing. Most people after the reading say, I can't believe how much lighter I feel.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah.
Like I took a weight off their shoulders, this thing that had been bothering them. I've read people where I once had a 70-year-old woman start to just cry her eyes out. I thought, oh my God, what did I do? I can't believe it. Because I was reading like this weird abuse in her space. And she had been having horrible migraines and her daughter bought her the reading. She was 78 or something. Like she was older.
That's
older.
Very cool.
And the hysterics, I couldn't even get her to like calm down to tell me. And then she said to me, I've never told anybody I was abused as a little kid.
Wow.
And she never told anyone. And that hello, that reading, that space.
Released is that like trauma.
Immediate. Yeah. Released the trauma because she no longer had, you know how much energy it takes to secret. Hold on to something?
Something like that, that you just want to keep a dirty little secret. Oh, and, you know, not dirty in, as in that person, but that the painful secret.
Right. Well, married. That pain, that kind of pain. Well, and really shameful. Because remember, there was a certain time that was shameful.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but like it shouldn't be that way. But
yeah.
And for the record, she never had a migraine again. And so even tying that back into what you were saying about the sort of experiments and everything, which, by the way, it's really interesting. They've been doing those experiments for
eons.
Years.
Right.
Years. That's, you know, one of those unsaid, unspoken things that is always studied because it's, you know, it's science. Mm-hmm. But what interesting feedback, like we can see that on a brain scan or whatever, that it's lighting up, or an MRI. I forget how they do it, but there was, you can actually see that lighting up.
Scan or something like that. There you go. I think we should probably move on to the musical questions, even though I'd like to keep talking. We didn't hit on some of the things that I want to. So maybe we'll do this again. We'll have you come back and we'll do another show because I want to talk about your reading specifically because you've been doing it for so long and talk about some of those stories that were impactful. What's that?
Psychic stories.
Yes. Psychic. You don't have to whisper that. You could actually say it.
That's true. I could say it now. Like it's okay to say it. I don't have to whisper it.
No, you don't. There's no shame in that game. Okay, as anyone can tell you that has ever listened to the podcast before, this is the section when I ask our guests some musical questions. And this is the pillar and the part of our show that I mention regularly. The music is the tie that binds. And I believe everyone has a soundtrack that accompanies their life, if they just take a moment to think about it. So, Deb, are you ready for your musical questions?
Oh, sure. And I would like to say first that thank you for the growth period. Because when you asked me this, and we talked about it for like 2 minutes, yeah. That's all, but about 2 minutes. And then I went down the rabbit hole, and I've been almost cursing you ever
well, not really. Not really.
I
would
never curse anybody. I can put a powerful hex on somebody, so I don't want to ever curse anybody. But it was so much fun to go down that.
I'm glad. And that's part of all of this because I the soundtrack is also a musical biography or autobiography. Mm-hmm. If you think about it, it doesn't matter if you wrote the songs or played the songs. Those were the songs that were going on in your life at that time. And they were a part of your life. So, and music is a part of my life and it has been since I can remember. So this is great. And thank you for sharing that.
No, oh, you're welcome.
So what was the first song that you fell in love with on the radio?
So, okay. I am all about musicals.
Okay. Yeah.
So I can't even tell you radio because it would probably was way before radio. But if it was radio, because it really would have been awful AM radio. Because
sure.
I'm old and
so, I remember all the WLS.
But it sounded
WG.
But so it was more, you know, I had stereo. Like this little record player. Remember those 45?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, I have to tell you, I had a yellow Beatles Yellow Submarine 45.
Cool.
That actually, if we knew where that was, would be.
It'd be worse
something.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was a yellow submarine. So I listened to the Monkees and to, yeah. you know, to the Beatles and a lot of Beatles. Like, I love the Beatles. But everything was movie musicals. And my, let's say my first, like, thing that I would have to say I just fell in love with was Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella with Leslie Ann Warren, that they had something on what they called Playhouse TV.
Get on here.
They, years ago, they would do a play on TV. And this was Rodgers and Hammerstein's. It was a musical. And I just resonated so much with Cinderella, and that I was going to meet my prince. And I sang that song 10 minutes ago, I met you, like probably from the time I was, who knows, 5.
Wow.
I used to put a blanket on my head, like I had long hair and walk around like Cinderella.
That's awesome.
And, she sings, all alone in my corner, all alone in my room, I can be whatever I want to be.
Thank you.
That's
Yay.
How it starts.
Very cool.
And by the way, I'm a huge fangirl that when I congratulated Leslie Ann Warren for whatever anniversary it was, she like replied and had a conversation with me.
Oh, how cool is that? That's awesome.
So cool. So I know that's weird, but even if you think of the words of that.
Absolutely. It's good stuff. And I appreciate that. Did your family have a song that everyone would belt out on road trips or vacations? Or it doesn't even have to be your family. If you went on road trips with friends or what have you.
So it was whatever rock and roll was on. I have such eclectic tastes. So when you're asking me that question, it could have been Journey. Queen for sure.
Right.
When I was getting older. Oh my God. You know, Bohemian Rhapsody and all of the Queen songs. I mean, I'm definitely a classic rock kind of girl. And right. I love the Stones and then even Grateful Dead. I mean, sure. I have my... So is there something to belt? You know, I really struggled with that one because I have belted. You know, when I got older and could go to bars, you know, I would go to the bars with the jukebox and we would sing, you know, Meatloaf Paradise by the Dashboard Light.
That could be your song. Nobody's picked Paradise by the Dashboard Light yet.
Mine are going to be really random, dude.
That's okay. That's okay.
Yeah, so it would be Meatloaf, but every time in my life, everything has a song. And I wasn't thinking about it when you said it. I was like, oh my God, I made up a song. I was living in Israel and working on a kibbutz. And I was dating a guy. And I literally wrote a song that was just like his. And basically, do you want me to sing again? I'll sing again if you know.
If you feel moved.
So I wrote this song. Ani ohevet otcha. Ani ohevet otcha. Acharei ata roeh she'ani ha-shemesh. Acharei ata roeh she'ani ha-shemesh. Bechofshi. And I think I screwed that up there, but that's okay.
That's fantastic. Yeah, that's great.
But that was all about I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see I'm your son, we can be together in freedom.
Very cool.
And there's a couple of different verses. One is, I will stand by you in freedom. The other is, and I wrote this whole song, totally forgot about it until you asked me about That's this excellent. Whole musical like thing. And, you know, in my 30s, it was, what was it in my 30s? Oh my God, stuck in a moment. You too.
Hmm.
Don't ask.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to jump around here a little bit. I'm going to get a couple more musical questions, but what I'm going to do is make sure that we have all of your answers, because people have listened. They obviously know what the show is, and there'll be the link that everybody can listen to it. But is there a guilty pleasure song that's in your playlist?
Yep.
What is it?
And I'll be shocked if anyone has ever said this before.
What is it?
This is a workout song that my coach played, and I could play it on loop and sing it. And it is by Windsong.
Windsong. Okay.
And it's called Diggy Diggy Hole.
That's awesome.
And
you know, you win. Nobody's even said diggy diggy hole before.
I am a dwarf and I diggy diggy hole, diggy diggy hole.
Oh my God. You will pull that up.
You will just fall out. It just, he played it, and from the first time he played,
oh my God,
I would make him play it all the time.
Diggy diggy hole. Wow. Okay.
Yep, you could be a dwarf. Digging a hole.
Yeah, life. Yeah, there's a left turn in life, right? So, I'm gonna jump to this question. Is, you know, sometimes there's songs you hear that ring so true that they can just stop you in your tracks. The song lyrics sound like they were written specifically for you or by you. What's that song?
I think I was talking to you about this earlier. I actually sent it to you so you can listen to it. But this song I thought was a love song because it's about knowing you.
Right.
That somebody's out there knowing every bit of you and all of that. And this, it's by Vienna Tang, and it's called The Hymn of the Axiom, or The Hymn of Axiom without the. The Hymn of Axiom. And I come to find out later that it was actually about AI.
Which is so cool.
I believe the song was written in 2013, but it is this, just this most beautiful, like it will take you to a place when you listen to it, that wouldn't it be amazing if somebody could know us, like those deepest parts and our greatest love and all about us. And I just remember the first time I heard it, I just literally dead in my tracks.
That's cool.
I was like, wow.
That's very cool. That's another one that nobody's ever mentioned. And you weren't kidding, because you told me in a couple of different times, this is going to be interesting. You know, people aren't going to get this. They're not going to have these, which is cool. You know, I love that. And that's part of the joy that I get, because even though, I mean, like, I listen to music all the time. There are so many artists out there and songs out there that I have never heard of. And then all of a sudden it goes on a playlist and it's like, I like that. Who is that? One of my boys will say, you know, hey, that's a cool song. What is that? And I'll say, hey, well, it was on this podcast. Go listen to it. Anyway, well, I can tell you that I've had to go to different types of song lists because it drives other people crazy when it's being played, because I'll go Bob Marley, and then I'll go country, you know, Jelly Roll. Then I'll go.
We could go on a road trip.
Yeah, well, just, absolutely. Just to let you know,
we could go on a road trip and I'd be happy as long as you include every musical that's ever been written at some point, because I could listen to And it doesn't matter. Hamilton.
Sure.
Oliver. Like, that was a soundtrack of my life. Plus, I was
Les Mis a child actor. Was...
I was in a repertory company, so I was in Oliver.
Sure.
And in Fiddler on the Roof. And those. But those, I could, I to this day, I sing. I just walk down the street singing movie, or not even, not movie musicals, but, and Grease. Grease.
Yeah. You and every other woman that I talk to.
Really?
Yeah. It's a lot of, so many, actually, it is predominantly women that will admit to liking Grease, you know? Personally, it's not that I dislike Grease. There's other things that I probably like more, but I will also say that when somebody starts singing the Grease at, a Grease song at karaoke, which always seems to happen, right?
Right, of course.
I enjoy that. I get a kick out of it. This is going to be a tough question for you, and this is going to be the last musical question. And the reason it's going to be difficult is because of your eclectic musical tastes. But do you have an all-time favorite song?
An all-time favorite song. No.
Like one that's been played on your playlist more times than any other.
Oh, you too. It's a Beautiful Day.
That's a great song. That's a great song for sure.
Funny how that just, when you said, what's on your playlist? I was like, oh, the thing that they keep, Spotify sends me all the time.
Yeah.
Played this 10 million times.
Well, so Spotify does that. Apple does that. Your playlist for 2024. I was afraid to open my playlist for 2024 because I thought it would be like two artists that just really took over everything. So I was really stuck on some of the artists the past year because I liked the song.
Funny?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's funny how you get stuck or go back to what I ended up listening to. And this is really funny because I love James Taylor.
Oh yeah.
I love Jim Croce.
Yeah.
Harry Chapin.
Yep.
I am dating myself so bad because I'm saying that and some of your listeners are like, who the hell are
Who's
they?
That?
Yeah. Who are they? I don't even know who they are.
Were they in that Bob Dylan movie? Who the hell's Bob Dylan?
Right?
Yeah. Oh. So this is where I'm going to wrap us up because it's just about time to cue the music for today's episode. But don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe to the Drop the Needle podcast to stay up to date on our latest episodes. I'd also like to take a moment to thank everyone again for tuning in today, and I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Drop the Needle podcast. I'd also like to thank our very special guest, Ms. Debbie Tatel, for being on the show. Debbie, can you tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you?
Oh gosh, you can get, I'm all over social media, but you can go to my website at spiritlightinsight.com. I think there'll be a link somewhere.
Yes, yes, I'll put
for you to access
all of them up.
So
there.
You can certainly go and check out what I do there. Also, I'm authoring a Substack where I am writing, they're really kind of spiritual articles about what's going on today, and you can find Insight Illuminated, Deborah Tatel. I don't know how you, the link will be also in there. And you can find me, Debbie Tatel, on Facebook or Instagram, Spirit Light Insight on Instagram. And I love to connect. Believe me, I have all my clients contact me in every which way.
Awesome. And thank you for sharing that with us. All right, my Drop the Needle posse, like Billy Joel says, from the highs to the lows to the end of the show, this is the end of our show. Until next time, this is Jim Allstadt wishing you health, happiness, and the perfect playlist for your life. Thank you again for being the best part of us. Catch you next time.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints, Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.